Making the best of what we have and why genetics don't matter. So it's Coach B today, and I'm going to be talking to you today about something that I think is very important, especially because we've all found ourselves in a position where we're staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m. and questioning ourselves, doubting ourselves, and being confronted with all of our insecurities doesn't quite make this fitness journey any easier. So I think what I'm going to do is that I'm not going to sit here and play the nice guy and tell you that no, you've got what it takes. You can do this. You know, you just need to look at all your good qualities and look at the good genes you have. I don't want to do that. What I would rather do is I want to agree with you, and I want to agree that you have the world's worst genetics. I want to assume from the very outset that you have been born and have been given by God, by your hereditary genetics, by, that's a little bit of a, what's that called? A oxymoron, but your genetics, right? Whether it was God-given or nature-given or whatever combination of those two you choose to believe, I want to assume the very worst-case scenario so then I can pick apart the illogical, the irrational, and the disempowering, the unbelievably disempowering belief that just because you have, quote-unquote, let me use an elegant scientific term here, shitty genetics, that you can't see the results that you want to, which are namely, making another assumption here, to live a relatively fit, happy, and healthy life. So, that being said, let's go ahead and talk about the very definition of what we mean by we want to get fit, because we can take a look at it from a couple of different ways. We can say that being fit means getting strong. We can say that being fit for us means being able to still carry mobility into our later age. We can mean that being fit is feeling attractive in our own clothes. There's a bunch of permutations that we can use when describing what fitness means to us. But for this scenario, for this video, this podcast, this topic of the day, we're going to be defining fitness as a relatively lean, strong, and healthy body. Those three qualities. If we want to be even more precise, then you could take a look on, if you're watching on YouTube, the body fat percentages for men and women that I'm going to be showing. But what is a relatively average level of leanness for a healthy male or female? One of those three qualities that we're discussing is 15 to 20% body fat for men and 20 to 25% body fat for women. Those are pictured right here. These are averages, and I'm going to keep repeating that. These are averages with a blend of the world's best genetics among the general population, the world's very worst genetics amongst the very general population. Number two, let's talk about strength. We can further break that down, and again, if you're watching this, you'll be able to see this visually, but we can further break that down into strength free weight benchmarks and strength body weight benchmarks. If we're talking about free weight, so the handling of barbells, dumbbells, weights, weight training, right? Then we're talking about the deadlift, the squat, and the bench. For men, 2 times body weight deadlift. For men, 1.5 times body weight squat. For men, 1 times body weight bench. For females, 1.5 times body weight for deadlift, for squat, for females, 1 times body weight squat, and for bench, 0.75 times body weight for females. Again, these are averages, averages that are attainable by the average population, considering a blend of the world's very best genetics and the world's very worst, again, using the scientific term, the world's very shitty genetics, right? So let's talk about body weight strength benchmarks. For men, pull-ups, push-ups, and planks, 10 to 20 pull-ups, 30 to 50 push-ups uninterrupted, and a 1 minute plank hold. For women, 5 to 10 pull-ups, 10 to 20 push-ups, and 1 minute plank. These are all strength and fitness benchmarks. And oh, let me not forget, let's talk about endurance, because our cardiovascular health is also going to be something that we consider in our definition of strength. This could be different amongst other channels, amongst other coaching professionals, but as someone who coaches the average Jane or Joe, who's a busy professional and has more obligations and commitments than just hitting the gym for 5 hours a day, amongst them being their marriages, their children, their careers, and so forth, what I have seen across a career of almost a decade now, and over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients and case studies, is that these are the average fitness benchmarks that not only that you'll find upon research, but that what you'll find inside of the training floor as you work with these individuals. So for endurance and cardiovascular health, mile time for male and females, 7 to 10 minutes. Okay. So, again, these are averages with blends of the worst genetics and the best genetics. And you might find yourself, after hearing all these numbers and figures and looking at the body fat percentages on the screen that I showed earlier, you might find yourself saying, well, damn, you know, that doesn't seem too far out there, right? Or you might start telling yourself, well, you know, I am, say, a lot more heavier. I'm over 200 pounds, and this does still seem very unattainable. Well, I'm here to tell you that although it feels that way, statistically, what the statistics show is that even individuals who are above 200 pounds, these are the average fitness benchmarks that are attainable within their grasp and across their time spent in the gym, pushing weight, outside the gym, running and feeding themselves properly. These aren't elite level competitive powerlifting and bikini model figures. No, these are, again, to reemphasize, your average Jane or Joe, busy professional who has plenty of other commitments outside the gym and who wants fitness to be a part of their life and not be their life. So, that being said, I hope that distinction of emphasis in my tone was able to be understood. And if not, I'll just bold it, right? But that being said, now we have defined what are the three qualities that we mean by, with precision, a fit body. What is a fit body? And as an aside, yes, this means freedom from severe chronic joint pain, freedom from severe chronic disease. Of course, there are certain circumstances where unavoidably we've already stepped into our type 2 diabetes and it's a poor circumstance, but nonetheless it can be managed and reduced to a more manageable lifestyle chronic condition. So we define what fitness is for us, but what if we had to create an individual with the very worst genetics, assuming again that that's you? Well, let's talk about five genetic factors, or six. No, actually just five, right? Five genetic factors. I'll give you the scientific way of saying it, and then also just in plain English. Starting off with the very highest, I think, genetic factor that is probably going to hinder you the most. And I'm getting these actually from Dr. Mike Isratel. So I think you should definitely give him a look. He's a wonderful guy, very funny guy, and he knows his shit. So number one, low initial muscle size. Well, I mean, that's pretty plain English as it is, but that just means you got small muscles. Number two, low neural output ability. So you're weak. Number three, higher natural body fat set point. You're naturally heavier set. Number four, more fast twitch than slow twitch muscle fibers. Low endurance, you can't really last long, tongue in cheek. Number five, low inclination towards strength training, not naturally into lifting weights. You're not someone who likes to, you know, lift heavy shit off the ground and put it back down, right?
So, what do you do for a living?
I lift things up and put them down.
So anyways, let's assume that this individual is you, right? And let's assume that this individual with the world's very worst genetics and me not coddling you and telling you that, hey, you actually do have good genetics, you know? Let's correct that cognitive error of yours. No, let's go ahead and tackle the deep philosophically held belief that you have the world's worst genetics. You're just not made for this fitness things. And I think the way that we're going to do that is in the style of a conversation, in the style of a Socratic dialogue. Ooh, fancy, I guess, whatever, right? It's going to be a dialogue between you and your friendly neighborhood coach, FNC. So let's start off with you. This is what you're going to be saying to me as we're having this conversation. And you're going to be saying, coach, this is all useless, right? And a grand waste of time. I can train my ass off and eat as healthy as I want, but some people are just meant to be fit and healthy and others aren't. I unfortunately was unlucky, very unlucky, and got the overweight and unfit gene. That's the way I am, and that's the way it is. FNC, this is all a grand waste of time. What do you mean by that? You, that only some people are meant to be fit and others not. FNC, so some are born with, say, good genetics and are meant to be fit, while others, no matter how hard they work, can't succeed because they don't have good genetics. You. Exactly. So what's the point? FNC, friendly neighborhood coach. Well, if that were true, then sure, you might have a case in point. But let's examine if it is in fact true and not just take it for granted. Let's test our assumption here. Let's say a person has all the worst genetics, weak, little to no pre-existing muscle, and no natural inclination towards training. Do you know of anyone who has had some, if not all, of these conditions? You. Sure. FNC. And have you seen them lose weight and keep it off? You. Yeah, but that was them. FNC. Okay, fair. Let's assume that the few people you know who somehow succeeded did so by doing something other than hard work, whether it was luck, genetic, or environmental. Let me show you some other examples. And if you're watching this on the YouTube video, you'll see that I'm putting up a, well, again, to use another scientific term, a shit ton of testimonies of people who have had all sorts of crazy genetics, much like your unfortunate soul has. So, none of these people had good genetics either. Some of them were even obese. Some had horrible luck, facing many tragedies and hardships. And some even spent their whole lives thinking and feeling so strongly that they couldn't do it. How do we explain that then, that they were yet able to? You. Well, because they worked hard for it. Ah, friendly neighborhood coach. Okay, in other words, we find that the average benchmarks of fitness can be achieved even by the person with poor genetics, like those pictured through hard work. It is possible and attainable. You. But it's just too hard for me. FNC. Too hard? What do you mean by that? Impossible. You. Well, no. Just that it would be really hard. Too hard. Dot, dot, dot. Self-pity. FNC. Well, you've done plenty of very hard things in your life before, right? You. I have. So, FNC, does it follow that something being hard means you can't do it? You. No, but this is different. It'll be too hard. FNC. Can you prove that to me? You. Well, no. FNC. Can we agree then that if you did something or tried something and gave it your all, that you would be making some sort of progress, more likely than not? You. Sure. FNC. Even if you have the world's worst genetics, such as those people we discussed and that we showed as case studies. You, that might be. FNC, why don't you find out? You, it might be too hard. FNC, how does believing that help you? You, it doesn't. FNC, what could be a more helpful way of looking at this then? You, and listen to this, that I might just have bad genetics. Okay, too damn bad. That sucks. But it does not mean, it does not follow that I cannot see any progress towards my fitness goals. In fact, thinking and believing so stubbornly that I can't will ensure that I make no results. However, thinking that I can, if I were to work hard, persevere, and learn the right things, will give me a fighting chance at the very least and in the worst case scenario. And the road will be tough, especially compared to someone with poor genetics, but that is no good excuse for not trying. So I will try. FNC. I think that's an empowering, logical, and more true to the facts way to look at things. Get to work then. I wish you much luck. Some parting thoughts here. Parting thoughts. So, when we're upset and we're confronted with our own limitations and weaknesses, including shitty genetics, and we are faced with a long road ahead of us, then it's easy to choose the unhealthily emotional, irrational, illogical solution that says that, well, we're not made for this fitness thing. But in a sober moment, if we can reflect and we can accept that even with that, we can argue for ourselves and make a case for ourselves that's true to the facts and that logically follows that we can still live a relatively fit, happy, and healthy life despite the very worst genetic conditions that we might have inherited from God, from nature, our parents, or the universe, then I think, as you just said earlier, that you give yourself a fighting chance. So, again, I hope that in this video, in this podcast, that I didn't give you some Pollyannish idea of, yes, you can do it. The world of positive thinking, self-improvement, you can make this happen if you just believe in yourself. No. I'm assuming that, yes, in fact, you do have shitty genetics. Yes, in fact, you might not even have a limb. But trust me, and we all seen this, right? We've all seen that a motivational speaker who's had no legs, no arms, and he's somehow been able to make something of himself, and he's somehow been able to create some sort of fit. I saw a video of a guy the other day who I think had his legs cut off or his arms cut off, something like that. And this motherfucker was a Paralympic athlete on the swimming team of his nation. And I'm over here, like, feeling bad for myself. We're over here feeling bad for ourselves and for one another. That is complete bullshit. And although we're not bullshit people, we're not bad people for thinking those things, well, we are carrying some very stupid, idiotic ideas that are stopping us from getting to where we want to get to. So again, I hope that this harder conversation, this hard talk, is inoculating you against the very stupid, silly, irrational idea. Doesn't make you silly, stupid, and irrational, but the very idea that you may or may not be holding that is impeding you from getting you from where you want to. And that, in fact, not just you hold, but I've held in my life as well. When I've stared up at the proverbial, you know, ceiling at 2 a.m, and that all of our clients have had it in some sort of form. All the people you walk by next to in a grocery store, stand next to in a concert, every single one of those fucking people on them, on that airplane, on that bus, they have felt some level of self-doubt and insecurity that is founded on what? Facts? On truth? No, rather just silly, childish thinking. So get rid of that silly, childish thinking. You're an adult. We're adults, and you know it's difficult, but we can do this. So let's do it. God bless. I hope this helps you, and take care of yourself.